What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
Welcome to episode 164 of the Pop Culture Connoisseurs. We're a gal and a gay. I'm Mick.
I'm Kitty. Thank you for joining us. We had a lot to talk about in this episode.
So, we do.
You know, just certain things.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot going on in the summer. I mean, summer technically hasn't officially kicked off yet. Actually, it has, hasn't it?
Unofficially. Tomorrow, I think, Friday, the 21st.
Friday.
The first official day of summer.
That's, well, and of course, the majority of the summer movies have already come out, and we will be talking a little bit later about Dark Phoenix, Rocket Man, MIB International, and Toy Story 4, which I saw last night. And yeah, we'll talk about that. I don't want to start tearing up right now talking about it. It was.
Well, like I told you, all of them are emotional, so I can only imagine this one is too. So.
Oh yeah, this one was extremely emotional. Very, very good. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, so let's start with what we are watching. So, Kitty, what are you watching right now?
Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot TV-wise that's going on, I guess. I know we're both watching Big Little Lies, the second season. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head that I've actually really enjoyed.
Yeah. So are you all caught up? I think, is there three episodes out already?
Just two.
Two. Okay. All right. So I'm all caught up.
Yeah.
As well. Okay. So the first question I have to ask about Big Little Lies, season two, obviously this was supposed to just be kind of a one and done and just HBO for another season. And so I have to ask, do you think it's worthy of the second season?
I think so. I mean, so far I think it is. I mean, it just started, so there's still a lot more mystery and story to come, I think. But I mean, the characters I think are as good as always, and Meryl Streep is a great addition. So,
oh my god.
So I mean, yeah, I think so far it feels just like the first season, and I think it's going to pay off. You know, there's a lot of really good people behind this show, so I think it can only get better, you know.
Meryl Streep just chews up the scenery like no other.
Right.
Like no other. It's incredible. And her scenes with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, so good. And I feel like Reese Witherspoon, she's really killing it this season too, I think, with Madeline, because she's great. I mean, yeah, I don't understand how Meryl Streep can be good in everything. How is it possible for one person to be so good at everything?
Well, and the fact that you've never seen this Meryl character before.
Right, you never have. She's kind of frumpy, but she's not afraid to say anything. Like, she's being kind of passive aggressive, you know, especially towards Reese Witherspoon's character. And it just works really well. So I'm excited to see the payoff at the end, because I'm sure there's more to her character than we know yet.
Right. And I have a feeling that she knew or knows some of Perry's anger issues.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
But just the subtleties in her acting, and when, if you pay attention, when she rubs her cross.
Yes.
I mean, it is just, it's brilliant.
And I mean, Nicole Kidman too, again, she was brilliant in the first season well, and she's doing a really good job of, I mean, I think that's what they do really well in the show, is especially that relationship between her and Perry, like how toxic it is, and he was abusive, but like she's in love with him, you know. And I think that's pretty you know, that's kind of real, you know. I feel like there's, especially for people in relationships like that, it's not always just a cut and dry, you know. So it just, I think they just do a really good job of showing how complicated that relationship is. And even now, after he's dead and she still thinks about all the terrible things he did to her, she still misses him. And it's like, again, it's just, I just really like the complexity that they're there and how well Nicole plays it. So, yeah.
And I love that we're seeing the aftermath.
Yes.
Because it's like a lot of times with TV shows or movies, you just, okay, the big thing happened. You get a little bit of wrap up, and then it's like, well, how does something like that, something like that has to stick with all of these characters and how it affects each one of them differently. And yeah, the character development is crazy good.
Yeah, crazy. I agree. So yeah, it's enjoyable. And like I said, it's only been 2 episodes this season, and I feel like it's just as good as the first season. So I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into some news. So this just came out just in the last day or so about Lena Headey talking about, and we hadn't really heard too much from her about the end of Game of Thrones. And so she was at a kind of like a Comic-Con, and somebody had asked her some stuff about Cersei's death and stuff. And, you know, she even thought that
Cersei deserved better. Yeah.
Yeah, a better death.
Right.
I think everyone can agree that she definitely did. But here's the crazy thing is that they, you know, a lot of people, and we were even talking about this, we were wondering if Cersei was actually pregnant or not. That was never really ever, they never really went, you know, like we never really got a good answer.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And now this makes sense why. Because Lena Headey said that they actually shot a scene for season 7, the season before the end, of a miscarriage scene. And then if you kind of look back on the final season, you can kind of see how maybe she, like, Lena probably played it that way a little bit. Cersei's deceiving, you know, everyone in her life, and she's using it to her advantage. And that scene with when they had Melisandre, and Tyrion was begging her about your baby and all this stuff and whatever. Well, she doesn't have anything to live for. Baby could have been already gone without us knowing it. So,
I mean, you know, I think we're going to get more of this as time passes from the end of season 8 of the show, but there's just so many things now that you're hearing that, like, that could have made a big difference in how the season played out, the final season. You know, there was also the director of the Battle of Winterfell, episode 3 of season 8, who said he wanted to, you know, do a lot of things differently, the creators didn't want to, which they have their right to. But like, for instance, you wanted Jorah to die in that first surge, you know, where all the, when the Dothraki go out there and they do the whole, like, the torches go out, that sort of thing. You wanted Jorah to die, and he wanted to kill more people. And they also apparently shot a fight scene with the Night King, but they didn't use it. And it's just, you know, she's hearing stuff like that where it could have, like, it may have vastly improved the final season instead of what we got. So, still not over it. Reddit doesn't help, because the whole Reddit thread that just is trashing season 8. So they point out a lot of the plot holes and a lot of the inconsistencies, and it just makes me mad. But, you know, it's just a TV show. There's no reason to be so upset, but it's also.
But after you invest so much time in it, and the thing that gets me is the previous seasons were so well crafted, and they might have dragged on here or there, but the pacing was pretty good for the most part. I mean, there were some storylines that they really drug it out, but like the last 6 episodes was just like full steam ahead. You're missing all of this, these little
plot, total plot lines abandoned, characters destroyed, you know, and it just, it really does just feel like the creators, once they learned they were going to do Star Wars, they were like, fuck this. We don't want to do it anymore. That's exactly how it feels like. And like, it's just, it makes me so angry because there's just so many things they did. Personally, I think they did wrong, that they could have done better, that they should have taken more time to show justice. Well,
especially the scene where Jon tells Sansa and Arya that he's half Targaryen and half Stark.
And in the long run, it means absolutely nothing to the plot. Right. You know, like, it's the build up to this huge reveal that he is a half Targaryen. He's a legitimate Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, it doesn't matter at all. Nothing matters in the end.
Right.
Because Bran is now king and Jon's at the wall.
Or right.
With the free folk now. But, you know, what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's just stuff like that. That's just really disappointing.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, I mean, again, like you mentioned, we're going to be talking about this for years.
And D&D, David and DB Weiss, they're not even going to go to Comic-Con this year. Like, the cast is going to be there, but they're not going because they're cowards. Because they know what kind of shit show they're going to walk into if they do a panel.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Even one day when they have a Star Wars panel, people are going to continue to ask about Game of Thrones and the shitty job they did.
And it's going to, I mean, I just, you know, there's overlap there. I mean, this is a fantasy genre. Game of Thrones fans, absolutely Star Wars fans, and you just tainted them. So now they're never going to take your film seriously.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so some other news that has happened recently is one of our absolutely favorite shows, The Good Place. It was announced that they are ending after this next season, which is season four.
Four.
And I guess there was a chance they could do a season five, but they were just like, no, I think season four is the best way. It's time that we can wrap it all up. So I'm bummed.
I'm bummed because it is a great show and I wish it could go on forever, but I'm glad that Mike Schur is like, hey, just keep it at four seasons. We don't want to push it any further than it needs to go, or they get to be creative with it and end it how they vision, instead of, you know, churning out more seasons just to please, you know, the network or whatever. So I think it's fine. I think sometimes a shorter run of seasons is good because it gives you a clear beginning, middle, end, you know. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of shows that could have benefited from cutting some of their, you know, runtime shorter.
Right.
But yeah.
So if you guys haven't watched The Good Place yet, you still have the rest of the summer to catch up on it, binge it on Hulu and Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
On both.
Yeah. It's on both. I'm not sure if season three is on Netflix yet, or it was. I don't know. But if it's not there, it's on Hulu or on NBC's app. So.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, highly recommended. Very funny.
Absolutely. And speaking of Kristen Bell, the new Veronica Mars season, which will be on Hulu. Actually, all of the Veronica Mars past seasons, the movie, and the new season will all be available July 26th.
Yes, I forgot that's coming. Yes, so I'm very excited for that. I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
And then also we have Stranger Things. That's on July 4th. That looks fantastic.
And I believe Mindhunter comes back on Netflix in August.
Oh, fantastic.
If you ever watched Mindhunter, at least the last I heard, sometime in August.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some stuff coming for sure. Yeah.
And then also it was announced this week that Queer Eye Season 4, which is still in Kansas City, July 19th.
Yeah.
We've kind of talked about the Queer Eye season 3 and 4 over the last year because someone that we're familiar with, they actually shot, they were one of the videographers on the show in Kansas City. And so they shot season 3 and 4 at the same time last year, and their season 4 is finally being released.
I'm glad they're releasing it, you know, so soon after the second season came out. So,
mm-hmm.
Or third season.
Oh, third, yeah.
What
third.
I meant. But yeah, sorry, my cat jumped up right in front of me, and so she distracted me while I was talking.
Well, she anyway. Wants to be part of the podcast. Usually, yeah. My animals are the ones jumping and.
I know.
Noise, but
hey. I'm glad that the world gets to see more Kansas City, because I think season 3 did a great job of like showcasing the really great parts of that city. And I no longer live in Kansas City, and so watching it was made me very nostalgic and made me miss KC a lot.
Nostalgic. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna come visit this summer, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also was announced that Philly will be the next
Philadelphia
5 and 6. So they'll start shooting that actually
later. Probably what, the end of this summer, probably.
So July. So about the time it comes out, season 4.
Right. Cause that's when that's basically when they started shooting in Kansas City last year. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And so kind of on, the Queer Eye front. Jonathan Van Ness has come out as non-binary. So clarifying that he prefers he/him pronouns, but he does not identify as a man. So yeah. He said
good for him.
Binary. Yeah, absolutely.
He's
starting to own it.
Yeah, he's such an uplifting, positive person that it's so great that he can be out there and saying, talking about this kind of stuff for other people who might be going through the same thing. I just think it's just really great. He's just such a great role model, I think. So
anyway,
yeah, just really.
And it's interesting how you can kind of see his progression when you start mm-hmm. Queer Eye Season 1 through this new season. Like, Season 3, you could really tell that he was embracing who he feels that he is.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's refreshing. So I'm really glad that he has that platform. And like you mentioned, others can see that, and he's a role model for them. Right.
He's just such a, like, a, just, I love him so much. And I'm just glad that, you know, he's using his platform for good. He's a joy, really. So.
Oh yeah, and if you haven't, and we'll plug his podcast while we're at it. It's called Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness, and it is really good.
If you are a Game of Thrones fan, see, he also had a video show called Gay of Thrones, where he would talk about the episodes of Game of Thrones with his friends, and so you can find those on YouTube, I'm sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's now talk about Pose. So have you watched Pose yet?
No, I haven't, you know, and I didn't really know anything about Pose until recently. I saw a commercial for it, and I was like, I've never heard of this show. And it's coming up, it's on its second season now? It's coming up mm-hmm. on its third?
Yep. Yeah. The second season was just
Billy really... Porter's in it, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love him.
Oh, good. Yes.
And so, yeah, I just have not gotten around to watching it yet. And this is it a Ryan Murphy show?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's just been renewed for season 3 as well. And it is on FX. And I didn't know if I was going to really get into it the first season. I watched the first 2 episodes and I was just hooked. It's just, and it takes you back to the 80s. And I know the 80s are really hot right now, but, it's so well done, and the cast is extraordinary, and there are a lot of trans actors who are in it, and they are so good, and it just adds to the authenticity of the show, and it you will really enjoy it. It's very emotional, but it's also so much fun, and it takes you back to the 80s in the gay scene in New York, and yeah, you will enjoy it for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah. I've been meaning to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it though. But yeah, seems like something I would enjoy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it was just announced that Annie Potts has confirmed that she will be back for Jason Reitman's Ghostbusters sequel, playing Janine.
Well, good.
So it looks like the majority of the cast is returning. I think the only one that I was reading about that isn't, we haven't heard from yet, is Rick Moranis, but I think he's retired from acting. I think they tried to get him back for, like, I think they're working on a new Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of thing, and he
really
he's not having it. So, but Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd, they will all be involved, and of course now Annie Potts, and that will be coming out next year. Holy cow! It's set for July 10th of 2020.
Oh, okay.
That's fast.
I'm excited for this because it is a true sequel instead of what we got a few years ago, which could have been a lot better. Anyway, we've talked about this before. So.
We have. It had so much potential.
So much potential.
But I feel like their hands were tied, and it's sad. But that's all right.
Yeah. So now I'll try it again. We'll see if we get better. Also, I should mention that Glow on Netflix is coming back too, I think. Next month, I think. I don't remember which day, but they just announced when it's coming back. So I'm really excited, and they're going to be in Vegas. And if you haven't watched Glow on Netflix, it is phenomenally good. So highly recommend it.
And Gina Davis, I believe, is in this new season.
She is, yes. I'm trying to find the date. Oh, sorry, guys. Well, I can't seem to see. Oh, it's August 2nd. Sorry. So, okay. August. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff coming. So,
there is. And so, you were talking earlier, you haven't seen or heard Taylor Swift's new song.
I've heard of it. I haven't listened to the song or watched the video, but I've seen articles about it. I know there's a lot of stars in it. And
yeah.
Her and Katy Perry kind of put their feud to rest, I guess, for this video.
Well, apparently they have kind of buried the hatchet, but they hadn't really made it public. I guess they buried the hatchet for like a year, but they really hadn't. They were still kind of testing out their friendship, making sure that it was still going to be on strong ground before they came out as a Taylor Swift in the video is, she's dressed up as French fries and Katy Perry's dressed up as a hamburger, very similar to what she wore to the Met Gala. And it's really cute what they did. So Taylor Swift, I will say I'm very proud that after she kind of kept quiet during the 2016 election,
right,
she has now turned a corner and she's a strong advocate, and that I think is very needed. She's actually not just talking about things, she's actually putting money into certain causes that I think it'll make a difference besides just her name and her voice. It's also good that she's really helping kind of push for equality and making sure everyone's treated equally. So
yeah. No, I agree. That's good. It's great. Like, someone like Taylor Swift has a huge platform, and I'm glad she's using it for good. So,
And you should also look out for, when you watch the video, I highly recommend it, Ryan Reynolds makes an appearance, and it's pretty funny.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll go back and watch it. Ryan Reynolds. I do love Ryan Reynolds. Who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds? Is the song itself any good?
It is. It's a good little anthem.
All her songs are good and catchy, you know. So
right. And that's exactly what this is. And it's a fun little catchy song for summer, basically. But yeah, the reason why I bring Ryan Reynolds up is because Ryan Reynolds is the reason why I am addicted to a game called Toon Blast. I cannot stop playing this. I can't. It sucks. I have to set a time limit on the amount of time I spend on this thing, or I'm up till 1 a.m. I should have gone to bed at 10. You haven't started playing yet, have you?
No, I haven't. But I would know because I forgot all about it until like yesterday. A couple days ago, I was thinking about that. Like, oh yeah, there's that game he because I saw a commercial for it somewhere with Ryan Reynolds in it playing it. And so anyway, no, I haven't tried it yet. I'm not really big into phone games. So.
Well, I wasn't either.
That's my problem. I know I'll get addicted to it. So I'm like, about it. I don't even want to try it, like start it because of that.
Yeah. Very
small. Like I can't even put Reddit down or, you know, like I already have trouble just putting my phone down. So when I should be sleeping. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, Reddit gets me every night before bed as well. So right. It's like it's a cross between I start with Reddit and then I go to Toon Blast and then I end with Reddit. So
it's bad. So summer movie season. You've seen several movies this summer.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. Well, the one we both have seen, Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix. I mean, it was okay. It was fine. It was just fine. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. I mean, it was better than I expected it to be based on the reviews. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's kind of forgettable. And I mean, Disney's going to reboot X-Men and Fantastic Four anyway. So now that they bought Fox. And I think that's why this film suffered like it did, because they knew writing was on the wall.
Well, and initially they were going to men, and they were going to be the bad guys in this film, and the Skrulls are obviously part of the Marvel Universe. So that was going to be their way to work X-Men in, but I think they just finally figured out, nope, we're going to cut our ties with X-Men and not bring them in to the Marvel Universe, because that would have been the way to do it. And so with them making that decision, that means that this X-Men franchise is now finished.
Yeah, exactly. It's finished. You know, and I enjoyed Sophie Turner. I mean, I liked everybody. I mean, I love Michael Fassbender as Magneto, but like he pretty much does the same thing in every one of these films. Mm-hmm. You know, and I enjoyed them. So like I said, it was enjoyable. I truly do not think Jessica Chastain's character or the aliens at all were necessary in this film.
Mm-mm.
I just don't.
I think you could have had all that without them.
Right. I think so too. I just felt like it was really just unnecessary to the plot as a whole. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, I liked the acting. I thought it was good. I thought they had some really good action sequences.
Yeah, I agree. And it was fun to see some of the X-Men, the younger X-Men, especially use some of their powers. So that was kind of cool, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was just sort of meh.
And I also think that when you don't have Wolverine in the mix, I think that also affects things.
Yeah, well, that's such, for
sure. And not even necessarily Hugh Jackman, but just Wolverine the character is always such a central piece to any X-Men story. Yeah. And for him not to be in it. And the thing is, like, I remember Days of Future Past
was
just absolutely fantastic.
It's so good, exactly.
And then they just dropped the ball after that. So
yeah. Apocalypse was bad. And I can't even watch it now because it's that bad. But I feel like Dark Phoenix was better than Apocalypse in my eyes. So.
Oh yeah, it was. It definitely.
And I asked my dad, who's read X-Men comics, you know, I asked him if that's how she gets her Dark Phoenix power in the comedy. He said, yeah, it's similar. And I said, are those aliens in the comics? He's like, it's a different group of aliens or something. But it's not them, and they don't come until later, so it just felt weird. Like they were just giving Jessica Chastain a role to do, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. And I also felt, I mean, the one thing is that this franchise already did the Dark Phoenix storyline, but I will say this one's better
than I agree. The
last time they tried to do it.
I agree.
But it's just, unfortunately, it's going out on a whimper. And that's too bad because.
But yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So, and I think it has a lot to do with the Disney Fox deal, probably, just because they probably knew that they couldn't really take this franchise anymore. And, you know, and like, because of that, we might never get to see this new Mutants movie that was been done.
Oh, right.
You know, it keeps getting pushed back. And, you know, who knows? Disney might kill it just because they want to move on now.
Yeah. And I bet they will.
I bet they will, too. So, which is a bummer because I wanted to see it.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Men in Black International.
Oh, okay.
I want to get these movies out of the way so we can talk about the ones I really liked. So this movie, not bad. It's not bad, but it's just not needed. It's not needed.
No, no. It was, I mean, no. More than one Men in Black film is not needed.
I actually liked Men in Black 3. Not too bad.
I never saw it.
2 is fine. It was fine.
It was fine.
I saw 3. Got better.
Yeah, I didn't see 3.
Now, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson clearly have chemistry. They're so good together. And they are good together. The writing, though, is the dialogue is terrible sometimes. And Emma Thompson's in it. Like, you have Liam Neeson. Like, you have all elements. It's just not... It's just okay. Like, I was expecting a lot more from it. And it, I wish it could have delivered, but it was just like, you kind of, it was very predictable in most parts. It was.
So, I mean, let's say I'm bored on a Thursday afternoon. I've got nothing else to do. Would you, should I go see it just to kill some time? Like, is it worth me going to the movies? No. Okay.
No. No. Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Nope. If they do continue this for some reason.
Surely not. Because
they're going to have to make some changes.
It did not do well at the box office, did it? No.
It did okay. But again, don't waste your money. I thought it was going to be much better. This is one where the trailer looks okay. It looked like okay. This is good to watch. They looked like they were trying to restart the franchise, and it didn't work.
Well,
yeah. So
I will likely never see this movie.
yeah. Don't waste your time. Okay, so let's get to the movies I really liked. We will start with Rocket Man.
So tell me. I mean, you've already told me a little bit how much you liked it, but lay it on me. You said it was fantastic. Okay,
so
right?
you saw freaking fantastic. So you saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
I did.
Right. And do you remember the trailer at all?
The trailer? No, not really.
So the trailer was a crazy trailer. Like, it was just, I mean, it was a really good trailer. It made it seem like it was going to be a musical kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom, boom. But when you watch the movie, movie's great. I really liked it, but it didn't match, right?
I liked it. I don't think it was phenomenal, but it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Rocket Man, the trailer, I was just like, I really like Taron Egerton. I'll go see it. You know, this should be good.
Scene's kind of like, just another biopic, you know?
Right. So that's what you're thinking going into. It's like, okay, it's going to be another Bohemian Rhapsody. It's from the same guy. Okay, I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody. The trailer didn't do this justice at all. From the opening of this movie to the close, it is so creative, inventive, and it is a musical like you are inside Elton John's head during each one of these crazy moments in his life. It's so beautiful. It's a beautifully shot. Taron Egerton is not trying to imitate Elton. Like, he's not trying to be, he's making it his own, which I think really helps, because I felt like in Bohemian Rhapsody, Rami was trying to imitate. I can't think of his name, but he was trying to imitate Freddie Mercury with the teeth and which is fine. But Taron makes it his own, and he sings his own music.
Yeah. Rami did
too, but and Richard Madden is really good. He can sing from Game of Thrones.
I know Richard Madden.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it is. And Bryce Dallas Howard is in it. The casting is fantastic. The music is so good. I didn't even know some of the songs. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that that was Elton John singing some of that. So
okay, good.
It was good. Well,
I was on the fence about going to see it. Like I was like, oh, eventually I'll watch it, you know. But now that I hear that's really good, I might actually go to the theaters and watch it. So yeah, that's good.
Yes, so, I highly recommend it. It made so the night we saw we saw Rocket Man, then we saw Dark Phoenix right after. And I wish we had seen Rocket Man after, because I would rather have ended with
on a high note. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of that. So yeah. Highly recommend. So that is what you should be doing on a Thursday afternoon if you have nothing else to do. It's a feel good movie as well.
Okay, good.
So this week,
another highly anticipated film, yeah. Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4. So you might be asking yourself, as I did, going into Toy Story 4, why do we need another Toy Story? Because Toy Story 3 was fantastic. Could have been its own little trilogy. Like, it is just very, it's a beginning, a middle, and an end kind of thing. And it's like, because a lot of times, oh, like big animated movies that maybe went on for a couple movies, then they turn into a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Writing's not that great, you know, whatever.
Right.
Toy Story 4 just completely will surprise you. And I was a mess at the end.
Okay.
This is like Marvel sneaking Endgame in,
right?
And not preparing yourself for Endgame. Like, you prepared yourself, like, somebody's going to,
yeah,
something's going to happen to somebody at the end of this,
right?
Or something. It would be like you went into Endgame not knowing about, this is the end.
Yeah.
I mean, they put end in the title, but yeah. Toy Story should be like Toy Story 4, the end.
sense. And it, to be fair, it's a Pixar film, so, I mean, every one of those will make you cry. I mean, that's what Pixar is known for.
I mean, there were tears in my eyes at the end of Endgame. It got me. I knew it was coming. This one, it is so well done. The writing, the casting. And I don't know why I'm surprised. Pixar. Very rarely has anything that's not.
But even their worst films are still good. You know, it's like they haven't made a terrible film. And in regards to Toy Story, I mean, consistently, that franchise has been good every time. And heartbreaking every time. I think didn't we go and see Toy Story 3 together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember. You
were like, wait a sec.
Right.
This is like, it hits you like, oh my gosh, they're toys, but I feel so, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also, there are parts of this movie where you're like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen. Oh, nope, sure don't. No. It's so well done. It's definitely one of the best movies I've seen this summer. Rocket Man is right up there as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Good. Good to know.
So, yeah. So highly, highly recommend it.
All right.
Prepare yourself.
And that comes out. I mean, that's this weekend, right? It opens this week in Toy Story 4. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So the
21st.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So. Yeah, guys, definitely see it. And next week, I will be going to see Spider-Man, the new one.
I'm excited.
Comes out.
It comes out July 4th week, like during that, like whatever day that, I think that Wednesday it comes out.
Right? Yeah, July 2nd, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will I believe we can talk about it next week. We'll see.
And also, I don't know if you saw this today, but Endgame, like Disney's going to release Endgame and release it. But it's going to have, it's just going to have like post-credit scenes and maybe... it says a deleted scene, a little tribute, and a few surprises. That's according to Kevin Feige. So, I mean, this is just also that they can finally topple Avatar in terms of box office because they're close.
Which is fine by me.
Right, fine with by me too as well.
You've never seen Avatar.
I haven't.
Which you're not going to watch it now, right? James Cameron can go suck it.
So anyway, so in case you want to go watch it. Again, there's going to be a new post-credit scene, which I'm assuming is going to tease what's next in the Marvel Universe, I'm assuming. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there. Just, anyway, like they make enough money off that film. It's just funny.
Right. I know.
Like, we see through you, Disney. We get it. Just say it. We want to make more money. You don't have to be like, oh, we're going to do a post-screen. Yeah.
Well, all you needed to tell me was, we want to topple Avatar. Okay, cool. I will spend my money.
It's fine. I'll go watch it again. It's fine.
Yep.
Take more of my money. It's fine.
Excellent. Okay, guys, we always want you to be part of the conversation. So please reach out to us, follow us, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, and we're even on Instagram, A Gal and a Gay. So please reach out to us. Tell us what you're watching. We'd love to hear from you. All that good stuff. Yeah.
So cool. Until next time, guys.
Okay. Bye.